Chapter 2. Even with the electric fan blowing up a gale from the corner, it was stinking hot in Rod Ironside's office. He reached for the silver thermos of iced water at the edge of his desk and arrested the movement as the jug began to dance before his fingertips touched it. The metal bottle skittered across the polished wooden surface. The desk itself shuddered, rustling the papers upon it. The walls of the room shook, so that the windows rattled in their frames. 4 seconds the tremor lasted, and then it was still again. "Christ!" said Rod, and snatched up one of the 3 telephones on his desk. "This is the underground manager. Get me the rock mechanics lab, honey, and snap it up, please." He drummed his fingers on the desk impatiently as he waited to be connected. The interleading door of his office opened, and Dmitri put his head around the jamb. "You feel that one, Rod? That was a bad one." "I felt it." Then the telephone spoke into his ear. "Dr. Wessels here." "Peter, it's Rod. Did you read that one?" "I haven't got a fix on it yet. Can you hold on a minute?" "I'll wait," and Rod curbed his impatience. He knew that Peter Wessels was the only person who could read the mass of complicated electronic equipment that filled the instrument room of the Rock Mechanics Laboratory. The laboratory was a joint research project by 4 of the major gold mining companies. Between them, they had put up R250,000 to finance an authoritative investigation of rock and seismic activity under stress. They had selected the Sonder Ditch Gold Mining Company's lease area as the site for the laboratory. Now, Peter Wessels had his microphones sighted thousands of feet down in the earth, and his tape recorders and stylus graphs ready to pinpoint any underground disturbance. Another minute ticked by, and Rod swiveled his chair and stared out of the plate glass window at the monstrous headgear of number 1 shaft, tall as a 10-story building. "Come on, Peter. Come on, boy," he muttered to himself. "I've got 12,000 of my boys down there." With the telephone still pressed to his ear, he glanced at his watch. 2:30, he muttered. "The worst possible time. They'll still be in the stopes." He heard the receiver picked up on the other end, and Peter Wessel's voice was almost apologetic. "Rod?"
"Yes?"
"I'm sorry, Rod. You've had a Force 7 pressure burst at 9,500 feet in Sector Sugar 7 Charlie 2. "Christ!" said Rod and slammed down the receiver. He was up from his desk in one movement, his face set and angry. "Dmitri!" he snapped at his assistant, still in the doorway. "We won't wait for them to call us. It's a top-sequence emergency. That was a Force 7 bump, with its source plumb in the middle of our eastern longwall at 95 level." "Sweet Mary Mother," said Dmitri, and darted back into his own office. He bent his glossy black head of curls over the telephone, and Rod heard him start his top-sequence calls. "Mine Hospital, Emergency Team, Chief Ventilation Officer, General Manager's Office." Rod turned away as the outer door of his office opened and Jimmy Patterson, his electrical engineer, came in.
"I felt it, Rod. How's it look?"
"Bad," said Rod. Then there were the other line managers crowding into his office, talking quietly, lighting cigarettes, coughing and shuffling their feet, but all of them watching the white telephone on Rod's desk. The minutes crawled by like crippled insects. "Dmitri," Rod called out to break the tension, "have you got a cage held at the shaft head?"
"They're holding the Mary Ann for us," he replied.
"I've got 5 men checking the high-tension cable on 95 level," said Jimmy Patterson, and they ignored him. They were watching the white phone. Have you located the boss yet, Dimitri? Rod asked again. He was pacing in front of his desk. It was only when he stood close to other men that you saw how tall he was. He's underground, Rod. He went down at 12:30. Put in an all-stations call for him to contact me here. I've done that already. The white phone rang. Only once. A shrill note that ripped along Rod's nerve's end. Then he had the receiver up to his ear. Underground manager, he said. There was a long silence, and he could hear the man breathing on the other end. Speak, man! What is it? The whole bloody thing has come down, said the voice. It was husky, rough with fear and dust. Where are you speaking from? Rod asked. They're still in there, said the voice. They're screaming in there, under the rock. They're screaming. What is your station? Rod made his voice cold and hard, trying to reach the man through his shock. The whole stope fell in on them, the whole bloody thing. God damn you, you stupid bastard! Rod bellowed into the phone. Give me your station! There was a stunned silence for a moment. Then the man's voice came back, steadier now, angry from the insult. 95 level main haulage, section 43, eastern longwall. We're coming. Rod hung up, picked up his yellow fiberglass hard helmet and lamp from the desk. 43 section, the hanging wall has come down, he said to Dimitri. Fatals? The little Greek asked. For sure. They've got squealers under the rock. Rod clapped on his hat. Take over on surface, Dimitri.